any misuse in this program. And I want to say, by way of context, the SNAP program, the rate of trafficking in the program or fraudulent use of the program is about 1%. So it's one of the lowest percentages in terms of federal programs. But we're not satisfied with that 1%, that we continue to work on trying to further reduce that. And it isn't just our view and our good stewardship or effort to make sure that we are solid stewards. Last year, President Obama and Vice President Biden launched the campaign to cut waste. And that goal in that campaign is to hunt down, eliminate misspent taxpayer dollars in every agency and department of the federal government. That means the bar has been raised for accountability for all of us. But correcting mistakes and rooting out waste, fraud, and abuse is not just a top priority for the administration, it's the cornerstone of making sure we are good stewards. SNAP has one of the highest rates of payment accuracy in the United States programs. Over 99% of people who receive benefits from SNAP or through SNAP are in fact eligible legally, and 96.2% of the benefit amounts are correct, meaning the individual household receives not too much based on their income or not too little, that it is exactly very accurate. And that program, or that payment accuracy, is record-setting the last 2 years over the history of this program. So in the program as large as SNAP, we also want to note that the incidence of trafficking, the rate of benefits misused, is only 1%, but that's still a significant amount because it's in the millions of dollars. Waste and abuse draw scarce program resources away from children and low-income people who need the most, and we cannot afford such losses. Just as importantly, we're very mindful of public confidence. We want to make sure that correct program benefits go to only those who qualify for them, that benefits are used appropriately and achieve their intended purposes, and that fraud will not be tolerated and will be effectively addressed when and where it exists. I mentioned earlier in this call that fraud, trafficking, the sale of benefits, knowingly occurs in supermarkets or large stores at the rate of 0.3%. So it is the rarest occurrence in a supermarket or a large store, big box store. Where trafficking occurs, invariably occurs in small stores. And that's not to say that the majority of small stores engage in trafficking or misuse the program. The majority of small stores, just as is true of the majority of SNAP recipients, abide by the rules, play by the rules, adhere to the rules. But our job is to find those who do not abide by the rules. And already, in the third quarter of fiscal year 2012, we have imposed sanctions or penalties through fines or disqualifications on more than 574 stores found violating our program rules. And we permanently disqualified 1,016 stores for trafficking, meaning selling benefits, buying them and selling them, or falsifying an application by the store. What's new today and why are we having this call? Well, today, USDA is announcing new and additional tactics in our continuing efforts to fight SNAP fraud and hold people who would misuse the program accountable. First, we're proposing tougher sanctions for the small number of SNAP retailers that commit the most serious violations, meaning trafficking or selling benefits. And second, we're setting new requirements and providing new tools for states across the country to ensure that SNAP benefits go only to eligible individuals. First, let me talk about those retailer or store sanctions. Too often, we believe, the penalties for retailers who committed fraud may have been viewed as a slap on the wrist and not enough to deter the bad behavior. Currently, USDA can't permanently disqualify a trafficking retailer from SNAP, or in limited circumstances can impose a financial penalty, but we cannot impose both penalties, a fine and permanent removal. Under these new proposals, USDA would have the ability to permanently disqualify a retailer who participates in trafficking and to assess a monetary penalty on that retailer. The proposal will also increase the financial penalty for the small number of authorized retailers that traffic in SNAP benefits. The penalties would be proportional to the amount of SNAP benefits the store conducts, meaning the financial penalty would more closely match the crime. In other words, if I'm a store that does, let's say, $50,000 in SNAP benefits over the course of the year, and I'm trafficking, I believe, and we believe, and that's what we propose, the fine imposed on that store ought to reflect the volume of taxpayer benefits that have been processed through that store. On the state agency side, again, everything we do through states and counties. Today, we're also finalizing new standards and expectations for states to stop fraud on the front end, meaning when people are enrolled in the program, and to ensure that only eligible people participate in SNAP. States that, frankly, have already implemented many of these policies. But what we're proposing today gives states additional screening tools to identify cases that may require further investigation and review if the application information is inconsistent with information available through federal databases such as the Social Security Administration. We have special access to these important databases in the Social Security Administration that can absolutely root out people who are misrepresenting who they are or by name. Additionally, the overall integrity of SNAP could benefit by more states following the leadership and the examples of places like the North Carolina and its state agency, which performs certain kinds of eligibility checks more frequently than is currently the case in a number of states across the country. Specifically, we're requiring that all states screen all program applicants using the USDA's national database of disqualified recipients. In other words, if you're kicked out of the program in Kansas or in Maine or in Alaska, your name goes on a disqualified recipient list. And we're requiring all states, no matter where you show up, if I'm a brand new person in a new state, that state is required to check against that disqualified recipient list. We're also codifying, meaning put into basically permanent policy, long-standing policy that requires states to check eligibility information with the Social Security Administration to ensure that anyone who is incarcerated for more than 30 days does not receive a SNAP benefit. We don't want somebody in a prison setting to be receiving a SNAP benefit. And codifying further longstanding policy that states must check SNAP eligibility rolls with the Social Security information on deceased persons. And again, you have examples that have occurred of people after somebody is deceased where the household does not report that and the benefit continues to be provided when that is not proper. We're requiring states to use federal sources for computer matching. In conclusion, we believe these changes will strengthen an already accurate program. SNAP, like all of our 15 nutrition programs, relies on our state and local partners to deliver these services directly to those who need them. That's why I really am pleased to have with us today one of our outstanding state partners, the North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services, and Ms. Dean Simpson, who is the chief of the Economic Services Section in the Division of Social Services at the North Carolina Department. As I mentioned earlier, they've been a leader nationally. When I've traveled around the country to other states, I've been urging states to emulate the practices of North Carolina. And I'm pleased to say that as recently as this past week, in a number of reports that came to me, other states were modifying that North Carolina letter and sending it to households in their own state. So that's the highest form of flattery, as they say, emulation or imitation. And we believe North Carolina's efforts really deserve such. North Carolina was recognized just last month at a national meeting for having one of the highest program accuracy rates in the country, 97.34%. They've developed this model letter I've referenced on replacement of electronic benefit cards, the EBT cards. We become very concerned when the same household requests multiple cards over a 12-month period, particularly when it reaches a threshold of four cards or more. And I think you'll hear from Ms. Simpson on the efforts within North Carolina and their dramatic results. So I want to thank her for being with us here on the call today, and more importantly, thank her for her great stewardship over the course of the year. But also, I'm going to turn it back now to Susan, and we can invite Dean to join us again.
Thank you, Mr. Kincannon. And with that, Dean Simpson, who is on the line, just so you know again who she is. She is the Economic Services Section Chief for North Carolina's Department of Health and Human Services. Ms. Simpson, the floor is yours.
All right, thank you. In North Carolina, it is extremely important that we are accountable for the benefits that we issue to individuals and the households across the state, and it's very important that we root out any fraud. One of the things that we are very conscious of is that we do lots of verification up front before we even authorize benefits, and one of the main ones we use is our upfront investigations of any questionable household or any questionable situation that comes up. So before we even authorize the benefits, we do a front-end investigation on that household or that case if it's questionable information, so that we can root out any fraud up front. The other tools that we use, of course, are our data matches, and those are extremely important for our state because we receive those matches immediately before we even begin the interview, so that it will be a guide and help us in asking questions and making sure that the information we receive is accurate. We have data matches through Social Security, through our Employment Security Office for any income or unemployment benefits, through our Child Support Agency, through Department of Motor Vehicles to make sure that the addresses that are being given to us is correct. We also use the Department of Corrections data match. We run the match between the individual applying and through the Department of Correction records to make sure that no one is incarcerated at the time the household applies. We also do the death matches, which are really critical through vital records and through Social Security, to ensure that benefits are not being issued to individuals who are not entitled to those benefits. Our online verification is critical, and it's critical that we use those tools to make sure the benefits are accurate. As was mentioned, was the letter that we send out to households also when we do a data match and we find that there are multiple EBT cards or electronic benefit transfer cards are being ordered for a household in a 12-month time period. We issue a letter out to those households if they receive four or more cards. And this is to let them know that someone is watching and that we are paying attention to the activity that's being done on their case. And it lets them know that if there are issues in using the card, please contact the agency so that we can help them with those issues. But then it also lets them know that the letter lets them know that if they order another card, that their case will be referred for further investigation. And this has really had a huge impact on our numbers of multiple cards that have been ordered. They know that the case will be investigated and that it's potential that they would be charged with program fraud or violation of the program and would not be able to receive benefits again. Again, we use the match for any household that has been disqualified, and again, that's done prior to any authorization of the benefits to the household. So with all of these tools, it has helped us to maintain such a high accuracy rate, and we want to make sure, again, that the benefits that go out are accurate. And Susan, I'll turn it back over to you.
All righty. Dean Simpson, thank you. Reporters, if you'd like to ask a question, reporters, this is a media call. We want to hear from reporters who would like to ask a question. Please let us know by pressing star 1 on your touch-tone pad. We have Tim Herden.
Herden.
Press Herden. Okay, I apologize. Thank you. Go ahead.
Thank you. The administration in the last few years has made a big effort in getting SNAP out and available at farmers markets. I think there was, I think I read $4 million was spent to try to get equipment to these markets to give recipients access to local food and that sort of thing. I'm wondering if you have any concerns or if you know of any abuses that have happened at any of these markets or at businesses directly related to agriculture.
Not in particular. It's Kevin Concannon here. That $4 million grant program you referred to is just underway now. I was at a farmer's market down in north in New Mexico this past week, and where that was discussed. Actually, there are about more than 7,500 farmers markets nationally, and before this summer season began this year, fewer than 2,000 of those markets had electronic access, the ability for a customer to either use a Visa, MasterCard, or an EBT card. And those markets, by the way, and there is the grant program that went out to state agencies, markets have to apply to their respective state agency, and our goal is by the end of this year to have in excess of 6,000 markets across the country with the ability to process those benefits. But these markets, I want to emphasize this, are subject to the same scrutiny as any retailer participating in the SNAP program. So we'll be watching their redemption experience. We have ways of, as I mentioned earlier, ways of profiling either locations or suspicious benefit amounts. The principal way in which we identify trafficking or fraud in the program is done by careful monitoring of benefit, electronic benefit transmissions. And we get these data loads literally daily, and we have a system referred to as the ALERT system. It's an acronym that actually tracks suspicious either based on frequency or the redemption amounts or location. There are a variety of factors that basically go into the algorithm that would raise the flag for us. And I can tell you that as we talk here today, there are about 5,000 locations across the country that are principally small stores that are under watch. And in the state I was in recently, I was asked the number actually out in the state of Iowa, how many stores in Iowa, for example, are currently under watch. And statewide, out of several thousand stores, there are currently about 43 to 45 stores. So we have ways of tracking. We also have 100 individuals, some of whom do undercover work, and they are targeted at particular areas. And so we watch these kinds of things. Farmers markets, I've been visiting a number of them over the course of the year because our goal with farmers markets is basically twofold: to encourage low-income Americans to eat healthier by using their benefits at those markets, but also to provide benefit to small-time growers and others locally through that benefit.
Reporters, if you'd like to have more information about today's topic, and this is information regarding USDA's efforts to combat fraud, we encourage you to visit the Stop SNAP Fraud website, and that's at www.fns.usda.gov/snap/fraud. I'd like to thank Kevin Concannon, Undersecretary for Food and Nutrition and Consumer Services here at USDA, as well as Dean Simpson, who is the Economic Services Section Chief for North Carolina's Department of Health and Human Services. That concludes our call. Thank you.